just another day in Tiger Town. This time, the powers to be have a chance to get it right. The Pelicans got it right. One of the most impressive media conferences held in the Crescent City. Number one goal, to convince a big guy that you can win here, so stay. LSU baseball falls to the Raging Cajuns. Woo! Troubles in Baton Rouge. All these stories and more. Just another slow day at the old studio. Today, Wednesday, April 17th, 2019.
Here comes the 1-1. Breaking balls, popped to left field. That one's got a chance. Grossman goes back, looks up, grand slam! Alex Bregman, a four-bagger.
Top of the key, Rudy Gay feeds it in the paint, poked away from behind by Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray's going to pull up for three.
Oh.
Oh, man! Yeah, Pepsi Center, you let him hear it! George, three-point range, weaving his way across the baseline, throws it away! Lillard steals. Dame front court against Schroeder, puts it on the deck, drives down the lane, put the shot up and in!
Oh, what times we have. NBA playoffs, hockey in the NHL, and LSU looking, or have they found their new AD already? Reports coming out this morning from the Baton Rouge Business Report that after a meeting last night, members of the Board of Supervisors, Joe Oliva expected to step down as the athletic director. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. Could it be during our show? Possibly. Could it be later on this evening? Possibly. Could it be tomorrow? Possibly. But it's going to happen. It is going to happen. What a day. How about that? My main man CD back in the master control suite in the 237 Roof Studios. The home of Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. I've got my thoughts. I would love to hear from you. This first hour is all you. Would love to hear you. Would love to get a phone call from you at 337-706-0111. It's your opportunity. We don't take phone calls often. But when we ask you, you generally come through. So this is your opportunity. Whether you like Joe Oliva or not, give us your thoughts on the news of the day. And I'll share my thoughts as well. This wasn't over one thing. Look, Joe Oliva did some good things. He really did. Whether you like him or not, he did some good things. But he was a public relations nightmare. Nightmare. LSU hired him straight after the debacle at Duke University with the lacrosse team. And I'll get more into this, but here's my general thought here. This is a unique university surrounded by a unique culture. We kind of like our own, and I'm not trying to say that in a negative way, but we need someone, LSU needs someone that understands LSU, that understands the culture of the state of Louisiana and its wonderful people. Rare and unique to the rest of the world. It really does. Because this is a multi-million dollar entity that so many people look forward to want to support, to want to cheer on. Joe Oliva had lost his ability to do the main thing that he was in charge of doing that he did so well early, and that was to raise money. More and more and more people were getting off that train. Board of supervisors, administrators noticed this, saw this, and had to put a stop to it. In Joe Oliva's defense, he's kind of the public whipping boy. Remember, he wanted to fire Les Miles. And he had the person in place. And then the powers to be above him said, no, you can't do this. I don't believe he wanted to suspend Will Wade, but he was told by the powers to be to do so. So in essence, we all have a boss. Everybody has a boss in one way, shape, or form. Joe Oliva's bosses kind of controlled Joe Oliva's actions in many, many situations. On the tough decisions, they controlled it. So whoever becomes the new athletic director, my first, if it were me, I would say to LSU, you want me, how badly do you, look, I would love to be here, but under these conditions, you've got to let me do my job. We've got to keep the politics out of this. Good luck. Because it's been doing this way for hundreds of years. For as long as that institution started athletics, it's been done this way. And it takes too long to make decisions. You've got to be able to do your job. You've got to be able to have some form of autonomy. And then with that comes the risk and the reward. If I make a bad hire, I understand that you'll want to get rid of me. So Joe Oliva had his hands tied in many things, but he was a public relations nightmare in so many ways. And it all started, not the Les Miles situation, it all started back when he flirted with the University of Tennessee. See, this is a culture that wants people that really want to be here, that really put LSU first and foremost above all else. And when he flirted with Tennessee about the opening for the athletic director job there, that started things. That was the stick that broke the trust factor. And once that happens in this culture, and probably in any culture, then you start to doubt. And then we had the Les Miles. Then we had the Will Wade. And there were so many other things mixed in between, tailgating issues that people just got nutso over. The Nicky Fargus hire, the Trent Johnson hire, the Johnny Jones hire. He's missed on a bunch. The best hire he made prior to Will Wade was by chance in Beth Tarina. Because the guy he went after from Alabama came here and left after a day. So, we'll take your phone calls at 337-706-0111. All right, let's get to it. Craig from New Iberia. Craig, go ahead, buddy.
How's it going, Jordan?
Good, man. What's up?
It's a blessed day. I know there's pros and cons of Oliva, but however he goes, he goes. I'm not sure if the Board of Supervisors said you can step down at your own volition, or you're going to force us to get rid of you. And if that's the case, do you think there was some kind of severance package that'd be the reason why he's stepping down?
That's why we have not heard an official release. They're trying to work out a buyout situation on this thing. And they got attorneys working on that as we speak. And once that is ironed out, there'll be an announcement.
And one more thing. I know we want to keep politics out of it, In my opinion, I think Virgil Osberry Jr. would be the best. I went to New Iberia Freshman High. His daddy was principal when I went to school. And Osberry family is such unbelievable people, man. Hard workers. Yeah. I think he'd be perfect for the job. Okay. Of course, I'm being biased because I'm from New Iberia. And but I know in between the lines there's politics. I'm not going to say names. But
let me just put it there. I think Virg will be your interim AD, but I don't think that's the fish they want to get. That's just my opinion. But I think they will retain Virg. And I'll tell you who I think they're going to go after shortly. But thank you for the phone call, Craig. I greatly appreciate it. Let's go to Kai. Kai, good afternoon. We lost Kai. Okay. All right. Let me tell you what we have coming up. First off, the Baton Rouge Business Report broke the story. Stephanie Regal is the person from the Baton Rouge Business Report, and we will have her on after our first timeout of the day. And then we will take your phone calls as well. 337-706-0111. Kai, if you want to call back, we would welcome your thoughts. This is the Jordy Helfberg Show, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Helfberg Show. Live and local. 1037 The Game.
And we welcome you back. The big story of the day, obviously, is the news of Joe Oliva expected to step down as the athletic director at LSU. The story coming earlier today, compliments of the Baton Rouge Business Report and compliments of our next guest, Stephanie Regal, who is kind enough to join us. Welcome to the spotlight, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much. Take me from the start to where you are now. Tell me What can you tell me about this story?
I don't know how much I can tell you that you don't already know. I mean, this had been building for some time. We would see a lot of the outside pressure, a lot of the criticisms of Joe Oliva, you know, all over social media, coming from high-profile business people like Richard Lipsey here in Baton Rouge, who had been calling for his resignation. But from what I was told, there was a lot of pressure from the inside, too, at LSU. You know, it wasn't just the Will Wade thing. I mean, it didn't just start with the Les Miles thing years ago, but it was a series of factors that had been building, and I think it reached the point where they just realized he had to go. You know, I mean, he had become toxic there, even though he was a nice guy. But there were just a lot of issues. And, I mean, look, a lot of this job is political. You know, you have to be a politician to be an athletic director, to be anything successful at LSU. And that wasn't in his skill set. So I think that, you know, that was the decision. And it was made before yesterday. I mean, the wheels were already in motion, and it had already been decided when the Board of Supervisors held a meeting last night, ostensibly to discuss pending litigation and the Will Wade matter as well. But the deal was already done by then, and now we're just waiting on the university to send out a statement.
Right. Lawyers are talking, trying to work out some type of a severance or a buyout, payout, whatever it may be. I'm sure that's what's keeping ink from paper. But Stephanie Regal, kind enough to join us. You talked about he had become toxic. I believe, you know, fans are one thing, and that's important, and that's not underestimate that. But I think more importantly are the boosters, those people that write the checks. And I think I believe that at the Will Wade situation was the tipping point, and that many people sent in emails and said, we're not going to give any more money. We're done. Do you believe
that? Don't forget that I do. I mean, that's totally it. And don't forget that LSU has just launched the public phase of its largest fundraising campaign ever, $1.5 billion. This is about money. This is about booster support, you know. And the fans count only insofar as they write checks.
Stephanie Regal,
you know,
well said.
Now we wait, and now we, you know, and now we see who succeeds him.
Yeah, I have some ideas along those lines, but we'll hold that for another time.
Indeed.
But again, again, Joe did some good things, but there is that perception out there that Joe Oliva is the face, but there are politics involved, and Joe Oliva sometimes had his hands tied behind him and was told what to do. So I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No question. And from what, you know, what we've heard, there was pressure coming from a lot of places and perhaps higher up, you know, at the state capitol, over maybe at the governor's mm-hmm. mansion. There was that kind of perhaps political involvement behind this as well. So, you know, it's ironic that it happened just a couple of days after Will Wade was reinstated. But mm-hmm. this was about much more than, you know, the Will Wade saga. That right, was just, right. you know, the tipping point.
Tipping point. Well, job well done. It is spread like wildfire locally, nationally, everywhere. But it is. It's a political job whose main entity is to play by the rules and to raise a lot of money. And if mm-hmm. you're not on board with that, then you're done. And that's what basically did Joe Oliva. He had strengths, as you said, but from a public relations standpoint, I don't think the people of this state and that have their heart and soul invested in LSU ever bought into Joe Oliva, who came over here from Durham, North Carolina. Does that make sense?
It does. And you have to wonder, really, how long anybody can last as an AD and be loved. I mean, because fandom is so crazy. I mean, ironically, he had, you know, a pretty good year this year. I mean, most of his programs this year were mm-hmm. doing pretty well. But, you know, mm-hmm. but people don't take that into account, you know, and they've had it out for him for a long time, rightly or wrongly, deserved or not.
Well, Stephanie, thank you. Yeah, you cover everything. Now you're in the sporting world, so job well done. I know you're busy. I appreciate the amount of time, but keep going on that daily report with the business report, and thank you so much. Job well done.
Thank you. Good talking to
okay.
you. Take care.
All right, Stephanie. Bye-bye. There you go. Stephanie Regal. She, she's spot on. This was not something that just happened. They didn't call an emergency meeting last night to discuss. This has been in the works for the longest of times. Trust me. And what sealed the fate was that night when LSU was playing for the SEC championship against Vanderbilt. Will Wade had been suspended, and Joe Oliva walked into that assembly center, and the vitriol directed toward him. That was it. It was embarrassing. It was well expected. And that was it. And that's when the boosters really hopped on and said, we're not going to spend any more money. We're going to find something else to do with my money. So you're counting on this $25,000, this $30,000, this $50,000, this $5,000, this $10,000, this $500. It's not coming anymore. And that was it. That was it. 337-706-0111. 337-706-0111. You got to know the politics. You got to know what makes this place tick. It is not totally unique, because every Power Five conference university that deals heavily in athletics, everybody wants a little piece of the pie. Everybody wants the notoriety, and everybody wants to hop on that plane and go travel with them. It's a big ego boost. It is. That's what it is, and money rules the way. The deeper the pockets, the more you're into it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ty joining us with his thoughts on the story of the day. Ty, thanks for the call, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, sir. How are you? Pleasure to
I'm great.
Pleasure to finally speak to you, long-time listener.
Okay, great.
I was wondering what the implications are for the other coaches that we have, like, for instance, the whole Coach O situation. I mean, I know he's pretty secure where he's at, and Coach Maneri also. But then at the same time, we have, you know, Mr. Alexander getting some heat also. So I was wondering if you can expound on that and see if, you know, whenever we get a new coach, will we get a new AD? How does that work? Can you let me know and I'll hang up?
Well, okay. Okay. Thank you. Well, of course, it's like anything else. You know, a new boss comes in and that boss evaluates the job that you have done. And then he looks at the contract situation that you're under. Again, money is important. And then he will make his decision. Now, everyone that comes in has connections. They've been in the business long enough. They have connections all throughout the country and people that they like. So nobody's going to fire the football coach, the basketball coach, the baseball coach. That's not going to happen. But an athletic director has to settle in. And the first thing that new athletic director has to do is gain the trust of the people. Gain the trust of the people. And by that, being honest, being forthcoming, here's what we're going to do, here's what we're trying to accomplish, and here's how we're going to do it. Let's all get on board and make this university the greatest university out there. So he's got to get trust, and then he's got to live up to that trust each and every day. It's always this secrecy. There's always this veil of what are they really doing? And that's ruled that university for way, way, way too long. Way too long. Skip Bertman didn't run it that way. He's pretty good. He's pretty darn good. I'll tell you who they're going after. And I'll tell you my thoughts about that person and how it all shapes up. So we're going to do that next. We will continue to take your phone calls, 337-706-0111. 706-0111. They're going after a good one. And I think it's the right choice. And I'll tell you who that is and why when we return. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Acadiana Sports Station. Joe Oliva out. We'll also find out how the Pelicans got it right. They got it right. We'll be right back.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the app.
We are back, just getting jiggy with it. All right, 33 minutes after the hour, the Jordy Helfrich Show brought to you by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. You got to go check out the newly renovated Hooters on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. It is fabulous. Fabulous. They've got specials each and every day. The wings are phenomenal. The wait staff, the girls are terrific. And the TVs are everywhere. You can watch everything and anything in the world of sports and beyond at Hooters. Look, Hooters, it's going to make you happy. Go bring everybody to Hooters on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. So, again, at 33 minutes after the hour, no official release yet from LSU, but Joe Oliva will be stepping down. He exits stage right. And LSU is already out there searching for a very prominent, well-known member of the athletic community to run their multi-million dollar business. I do believe that Virg Ausberry will be the interim AD, and Virg gets it. Virg is an LSU guy, and he's paid his dues. He has been there and oversaw a lot of things and had a lot of different roles, and represents LSU very, very well. He has a great working relationship with the man that I believe LSU has already set their sights on and has had their sights on him for some time now. I know for a fact, because I saw him in town at a birthday party last week. Don't think he wasn't mixing business pleasure without some business. His name is Scott Woodward. Scott Woodward is currently the athletic director at Texas A&M. Scott Woodward hired Jimbo Fisher to run the football program. Scott Woodward got Buzz Williams to run the basketball program. Scott Woodward earned his bachelor's degree in political science from LSU in 1985. He is a Baton Rouge born and raised man. He served at LSU before when Mark Emmert was the chancellor. He was the chancellor's representative to the athletic department. They're the ones that hired Nick Saban. Need I say more? Look, he's had a lot of, we talked with Stephanie Regal earlier, the young woman who broke the story for the Baton Rouge Business Report. She talked about how you got to be politically savvy. Let me tell you a little bit about Scott Woodward. He served as a political consultant and a legislative liaison in Baton Rouge. He founded a government and public relations firm providing strategic policy direction to Fortune 500 companies. So he leaves LSU when Mark Emmert goes to Washington. He served as the vice chancellor of external affairs at Washington from 2004 to 2008, and then was appointed as a director of athletics. He is the AD who got Chris Peterson to come to Washington. Chris Peterson was heavily pursued by the Southern Cal Trojans, USC, a powerhouse in that league, the name school in that league in football. And he got Chris Peterson to come to Washington. So highly thought of, Texas A&M opened up the bank and brought him over. And with a lot of dollars in the war chest, Scott Woodward did what it took to get Jimbo Fisher and to get Buzz Williams. He's made big hires. He's dealt with things politically, and he's a Louisiana Baton Rouge native. He understands the culture. He understands this town. He understands this university. I don't know if LSU can get him, because Scott's going to ask for autonomy, and he should get the autonomy. He should be able to run his department. He shouldn't have to wait to get approval from a group of men on spending money to improve, to get a basketball goal, another basketball goal to put inside the PMAC that rolls off the court. He shouldn't have to go through all these things. He should be able to run his department. He should be able to hire and fire. Scott Woodward can raise money. Scott Woodward has been at LSU, at Washington, and now at Texas A&M. He's the perfect choice. In my humble opinion, he is the perfect choice. A lot of the board of supervisors and the politicians and the boosters know him well. Respect him. I think it would be perfect. And he and Virg Ausberry have a great relationship. I know that as a fact. It would be a seamless transition. However, he's not going to come under the present terms of the way things are run. And he shouldn't have to. He should not have to. 337-706-0111. 337-706-0111. That's my thoughts on the matter. Now, there's a lot of people out there that say, okay, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And I got to be honest with you, I'm in agreement. Others have to go. Others have to go. And one of them, I believe, is F. King Alexander. I just don't think he gets it. I don't think he gets it. 337-706-0111. It's a tough, tough job. You've got to raise money. You've got to increase ticket prices. You've got to do things cutting edge to try and generate income. And there are those people, and I understand you, that are getting priced out of being able to watch your team play. I understand that. George, thanks for the phone call. Welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey.
Hey, bud.
You still there?
I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. The deal with Woodward, and I mean, his name's been floated a lot, obviously. I'm from Baton Rouge. I'm catching your show meeting okay. Over here in Lafayette. But two big issues. Money, but the biggest one is F. King Alexander's in his way. And quite frankly, that's the problem with a lot of what's happening, not only in the athletic department, but I don't know
I
if
agree.
You were able to read Richard Lipsy's
I did.
Blog where he... Yeah, so, I mean, that's a big problem. And until you get that man out of the way, your problems still exist. And, it, again, not only is an athletic problem, it's school of
no
veterinary
question.
Medicine, you have
yes.
fill in the blank, you know.
Yes.
And that was the only comment I wanted to make. You got two big obstacles getting Woodward over. And I'll hang up and listen, Jordy.
All right. George, thank you very much. Yeah, I just mentioned F. King Alexander. You got to go. Got to go. Money. I'm sure that A&M does not want to lose Scott Woodward. But Scott Woodward's done. There's really nothing else for him to do there. This is home. And I've talked to him about this. This is home, and he would love nothing better. I know money's important, but I think more so than anything else, he wants to have the autonomy to run his department. As anyone in a position running a multi-million-dollar entity, he would want to have the buck stop with him. I know politics rules the roost in this state. I understand that completely. And as long as there are the board of supervisors, there you're never going to have a unanimous decision on anything. That is a problem. It's always been that way. And until that gets cleaned up, then what makes you think things are going to change? It's kind of like the football team. Coach O, I love you. You keep saying you're going to change the offense and it's going to be much better. We keep hearing it and hearing it. And then when the game is on the line and the lights are on and they're keeping score, you go back to the same old, same old. You go back to what makes you comfortable. We got to get out of our comfort zone. Got to make tough decisions. And I'm in agreement with George, and I think many, many others are in agreement as well, that Joe Oliva is just the tip of the iceberg. Underneath the water, there's a whole big iceberg sitting there, and you got to get rid of it if you want to move on and get to warm climate. LSU is a beautiful campus with everything that you need to be a Tier 1 university. Everything. It's not that difficult. Some people mention Herb Vincent. Maybe Herb Vincent becomes the president, and maybe Scott Woodward becomes the athletic director. I wouldn't be against that at all. Respect both of them. They love this institution. Herb Vincent's been in the SEC office for years now and has learned the ropes. Clean the house. It's time. It's time. There is no trust factor at that university. It's gone. Nobody believes anything that's being said, and there's too many rumors and too many things out there for people to hop on board. It just is. It could be so simple and so easy. Honesty, truth, doing things the right way, and some smarts and some common sense. It can be done. Just got to get the right people in here. And I think they have the opportunity. Yeah, I'm biased. I've known Scott Woodward for a long time. But his track record speaks for itself. It just does. He has made significant hires. He has improved athletic departments both on the field and on the budget sheet, the balance sheet. He's done it. He has lasted the test of time, and he has improved exponentially. But most importantly, to me, most importantly, I believe this in my heart of hearts. He loves LSU. He is LSU. He comes back to LSU. He's got friends and family here. He understands what this place is all about. Joe Oliva, God bless. I like Joe. I don't have anything against Joe, but he didn't know LSU. He, you know, 11 years, I'm sure he grew to like it. But you know what? When he retires, he wasn't going to live in Baton Rouge. He's going back. He's going back. North Carolina, wherever. New York, whatever. He's not staying here. Got to get somebody that this is your roots, baby. This is where you want to be. It means more to you than a paycheck. And I believe Scott Woodward is that person. 337-706-0111. 337-706-0111. Coming up, hour number two, Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, a Times-Picayune will join us. You talk about getting it right, the Pelicans. David Griffin had his press conference today. Oh, yeah, he got it right. He got it right. You coach LeBron, you're in the same building as LeBron with all the things that go on with him, you can handle anything. And he won him a championship. You can do with anything. Wait till you hear what he wants to do. We'll share that with Andrew Lopez. Michael Hugenin will join us as well. We'll get his national perspective on what's happening here in Tiger Town. Shout out to the Raging Cajuns. They get it done last night, 6-5, winners over LSU. How about Handsome Monica? Best name, one of the best names in sports. Handsome Monica. Needs to be in the movies, man. Needs to be on television. Handsome Monica gets the home run to win it. And the Raging Cajuns is now, that's three straight wins. Two last year, one this year over LSU. Michael joins us here on 103.7 The Game. Michael, good afternoon, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Jordy, no problem, man. I wouldn't pass this up. This is like, look, since the 1980s, when they got rid of Arne Sparger, or Arne Sparger left, I have been on a soapbox screaming about the athletic department system. I'm going to say it like that. That is defunct. Mm-hmm. That there's so many, I mean, these guys, it's, you know, there's a formula. You hire a person with a proven track record who has a system that's known to do. Then you go and you put away your egos and you support this guy. You jump when he says jump. You give him every resource to go out and accomplish his goal of a national championship at LSU. So here's the deal. They don't know that formula. There's egos in there. That, you know, we had Nick Saban, we had Jimbo Fisher, we had Mark Emmert, we lost all three. We had Arne Sparger, we lost him. We had Paul Dietzel, we lost him. We had, you want me to go on, we had Pat Henry, we lost him.
I know.
Okay?
I know.
You know, you want me to go on? You know, there is a problem in our athletic department, and thank God that I think right now this is some monumental things going on that's going to change that. Because let me tell you, LSU could have dynasty after dynasty. We had it with Pat Henry. I'm going to tell you right now, Arne Sparger would have won that national championship the next year. You know that. You know that when he had it on. He had it on a roll. He was, for people that don't know, Bill Arne Sparger was just as on the cutting edge of knowing like a new way of coaching football as Nick Saban was. Okay, we had that. We had that. Had we kept this guy, there's no telling what we would have done. And I don't know if people recognize that, but he had the diet thing going on back then. We had so many chances that this athletic department has been the weak link and throttled us back from what we could achieve at LSU. And I've been screaming this since the 80s. We went through the Curly Hallman era, the DiNardo era. Mark Emmert had to step in front of them to get who he got. Nick Saban.
Saban, yes.
Yes. You know what I'm saying, Jordy? This is where our weak link is, and we need to address it. I hope Lipsy and all of them are listening right now. I'm not sure.
I've been there.
I'd love.
I have been there through all of that stuff. I've been there through all of it. I've seen the dysfunction, and it's not that difficult, Michael. It's just not.
No. No, it's not. Yep. I respect you show so much, brother. I've been following you. I am the guy. You might not realize it, but it was the Houston game. DeNardo and Kevin Falk at the Houston game when we had to come back in Tiger Stadium.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I was in the front row, and I went back, and you were in the hall and in that aisle. You were in that aisle right by the end zone, if you remember correctly.
Okay.
And, and I walked back down the aisle, and I looked at you, and I said, hey, man, I watched your show Inside LSU with Rudy Macklin and everything at 10:30 at night, and we talked a little bit. And then I told you, I said, you know what? I love your name. I said, my wife is about to have a baby, and I'm gonna, I think I'm going to name it Jordy.
Oh, my
gosh.
Do
you remember that?
I do remember, man. Thank you. I do remember. That's quite a compliment.
Yeah, it turned
Thank
out to
you.
Be a girl,
well,
by the way.
Well, that's okay. She's a lot prettier than I am. I can assure you of that. So, let's hope they get it right and learn from many, many years of past failures, right? Let's see if we can get this thing right. I agree with you. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it, buddy. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll squeeze in a few more phone calls, 337-706-0111, 706-0111, the Jordy Helfrich Show. A new era is about to begin. It's about darn time.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Real quickly, leaks come out everywhere. You know, Joe Oliva, we'll deal with that some more. But the NFL Network will announce the Saints and all the other NFL teams' schedule. But leaks have come out, and apparently the Saints will open up on September the 9th, Monday Night Football. The Houston Texans coming to the Superdome. Week 2, they'll be at the Rams. Week 3, at Seattle. Then they come back for a Sunday Night Football game between the Saints and hosting the Dallas Cowboys on NBC. The Saints, it's going to be good. How about Thanksgiving Day? Yes, indeed. The Saints will be at the Atlanta Falcons Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, 7:20. How about that? We've got a Monday night, another Monday night football game. The Indianapolis Colts come to town for week 15, December the 16th. The Saints will close out the season at Tennessee in week 16, at Carolina, week 17. So a couple of Monday night games, Thanksgiving Day game, a Sunday night game on national television. So people think the Saints going to be pretty good, as well they should. So more on that coming up your way as well. So, again, this wasn't something that was just happened immediately. This has been building and building and building, this Joe Oliva thing. We'll see who else survives and who doesn't. There might be a couple of other names out there that that don't make it as well, that will be looking for something else to do. Joe Oliva's got plenty of money. He can retire, go back to North Carolina. I like Joe. Good guy. But not for this place. Not now. Got to get it right. Hour number one's history. Hour number two, hot topics. Andrew Lopez will join us. David Griffin, impressive. The new head of the Pelicans. And more on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana's sports station, 1037 The Game. Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Helfrich.
All right, hour number two, and away we go. It's hump day, April 17th, the year 2019, as we get closer and closer to the Easter holiday. And the big news of the day, Joe Oliva will be out as the athletic director at LSU, working on some legal negotiations, I'm sure, right now before LSU makes their release. I know for a fact that they are targeting Scott Woodward, the current athletic director at Texas A&M, who is an LSU, born and raised in Baton Rouge, an LSU graduate who's been served under Chancellor Mark Emmert at LSU, became the athletic director at the University of Washington up in Seattle, and now the current athletic director at Texas A&M. So stay tuned for that. We've got a busy second hour. We'll find out David Griffin, the new boss of the Pelicans, right? Vice president of basketball for the Pelicans, answers only to Miss Gail Benson. Andrew Lopez will join us. He went to the press conference. We'll get his take on that. And Michael Huguenin stops by, as he always does, for Hump Day with Huguenin. But without further ado, let's get busy. Time to take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, CD, Clint Domain, Chill Dog, joins us. Good afternoon, my friend.
Good afternoon.
Slow day.
A slow day, you know, Jordy. Pick a topic, any topic. We got a lot of things to talk about. And, of course, the one we got to lead things off with is the Joe Oliva news. Definitely a little bit of a surprise to some. I know last night kind of the rumor and innuendo just started to leak out in the world. Late last night, I wound up seeing that. I was like, oh, wow, Joe Oliva potentially out the door. I was waiting to kind of hear some official stuff. And then the BR Business Report kind of drops the bombshell right around lunchtime. My goodness, Jordy, how crazy is that to see Joe Oliva be out the door not long after reinstating Will Wade?
I'm not here to jump on anybody's grave, but I had been hearing about this for 2 months now. And it crescendoed with the Will Wade situation, but this goes back a long way. This is just not one thing in particular, other than the fact that he was losing control of the power brokers, the money people. They were shutting things down. And when that happened, boom, that was all she wrote. So I have nothing against Joe Oliva, but Joe Oliva, this was not his heart and soul and his life and his blood. You need someone that understands this culture. I've been saying it for years, that understands the people, that LSU means more to him than a paycheck. That's not what Joe Oliva was. That's not what others were. That's not what F. King Alexander is. That's not. They need to get the right people in. It is a giant that could be at the very top of everything, both athletically, but more importantly, academically, it could be the best. So these need to get the right people in. Hopefully they will. We'll see.
Exactly, Jordan. You need to get the right people in there. And you brought up Scott Woodward. That's definitely one a lot of other people are leaning towards as well. What other names are you kind of thinking about could wind up being that guy if you can't get a guy like Scott Woodward? Because we've been through this situation before when it comes to head coaches on the football side of things with Tom Herman and the aforementioned Jimbo Fisher now at Texas A&M. It seems like you need to be able to have a lot of things in place. It can't be, oh, hey, let's just put all our eggs in one basket like we've seen in the past.
I think it's a two-horse race, to be honest with you. I think it's Scott Woodward, who has experience as an athletic director. And I think Herb Vincent is the other. He's worked at LSU. He's been in the Southeastern Conference office. And he's very, very qualified for the job. I think they need someone. I know. Now, whether they do it or not, I know they need someone that has connections to this university. It's not part of the good old boy club. That's not what I'm talking about. But someone that this place means something to them. It's important to them.
Yep.
Scott Woodward, Herb Vincent, those are the two front runners as far as I'm concerned.
And I have to agree with you. Those two guys are at the top of the list when it comes to a potential new hire. And speaking of new hires, Jordy, we got to go talk about the New Orleans Pelicans officially introducing David Griffin. And he made one heck of a statement today, especially when concerning the Anthony Davis situation, saying you're either all in or you're all out.
Yeah, you know, he's got a relationship with Clutch Sports. I just read a couple of excerpts. I've been kind of busy on this Joe Oliva thing.
Oh, as everybody is.
But I'm gonna talk to Andrew Lopez about this. But he wants to show Anthony Davis that you can build a winner here. He said the idea that small markets can't win championships is baloney. And so I like that. I like that. We'll see. Look, if you can deal with LeBron and all that LeBron brings with him and all the entourage and all the attention and all that stuff that's part of LeBron, if you can deal with that and win a championship, okay, I like you. I like you a lot. So I'm interested to see what Andrew has to say about David Griffin shortly.
Oh, that's going to be amazing to hear what he has to say about David Griffin. From what I wound up listening to early on today, I was definitely pleased with what I heard from the man himself, good, David Griffin. A lot of great things. And again, just the fact that he was open about the Anthony Davis situation, he decided about taking over the position. It seems like he wants to be, if he can't have Anthony Davis, then he's definitely going to be looking at, obviously, Drew Holiday being the centerpiece of this franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, at least he hasn't given up on Anthony Davis. Now, maybe it's a pipe dream. Maybe not. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
All right, Jordy, moving over to the NFL. Of course, the schedule is going to be coming out later today officially. Of course, some stuff has started to leak out a little bit.
Right.
In fact, one of the big matchups is Week 2 Saints-Rams on Fox. Is going to be a nationally televised late afternoon game, first reported by Garland Gillen of Fox 8 out in New Orleans. And it got me thinking, Jordy, why is this not like one of your opening Monday night games or your Sunday night football for Week 2? Because doesn't that make sense?
Clint, the NFL's not going to let that happen. They're not going to put that game all on an island by itself, because what's going to happen? It's all going to show how egregious the error was in the NFC Championship game, and the NFL doesn't want to bring that back up again. So they'll never put that game on an island by itself. No. They're going to just hide it amongst all the other games, regional things, and all that. That's why. They don't want that. They don't want to bring up the no call that cost the Saints a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Like I said, I was thinking about it. You know, you want to be able to have people understand what this new rule is going to be all about to help avoid a situation like that. From happening again. I think that would be, at least I think it would be a smart thing to do, and I was surprised to see this just
you're
being a week
you're
two.
You're not the NFL. You're smart. You think well. But the NFL's not going to let that happen. No way.
Oh, no way. I kind of have to agree with you there, Jordy. And we're talking about football. Well, now it's official, Jordy. The AAF, it is dead as disco. It just filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy. My goodness. A sad day for many AAF fans. But you know what that means, Jordy? The XFL right around the corner.
Vince McMahon. Woo!
He knows what he's doing. He knows.
Yeah. And he's got a lot more money than Ebersol and Polian. He could buy them 100 times over. So it's all about the money, being able to bankroll everything. So we'll see.
Exactly, Jordy. And, you know, last one before we kind of get out of here. We kind of talk about the Houston Astros, Jordy, completely unglued last night. 9-1 win over the Oakland A's. 10 straight wins.
Unbelievable.
It's been amazing to see what they've been doing. Aren't you glad that, as a Cardinals fan, you're glad they're not in the NL Central anymore?
Yes, I am. What a ball club. Bregman hits a grand slam. Pitching's getting right. The bats are alive. They're one of the three teams out there in the American League that have a legitimate chance to win the whole thing. And right now, nobody hotter in baseball. So good for the Stros. And good that they're here on in Delta Media and KLWB and our sister stations throughout the course of the season. That's awesome. All right. Thank you, Clint. Hot Topics brought to you by the best hot sauce every day, and that is Cajun Chef. The Biard family right there in St. Martinville for nearly 90 years, a family tradition. Means a lot to them. They put out a great product each and every day. Bring a little small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Joe Oliva out. David Griffin in for the Pelicans. We'll find out what his press conference was like. Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, was there. He's next.
Berg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Hey, welcome back. While there is all kind of chaos in Tigertown over this Joe Oliva situation, It seems like things are really heading in the right direction with the New Orleans Pelicans. David Griffin and the Pelicans agreed last week for him to become the franchise's new executive vice president of basketball operations. And today he met with the media for the first time. Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, was there and took in every word. So, Andrew, thanks for the time, man. With all the crazy stuff around here, I didn't get to listen to anything. So, first off, impressed by his opening comments today?
You know, you always talk about guys who win the press conference, and that's like a big thing. This is one of the most winningest press conferences I think I've ever seen.
Really?
In terms of a guy who just went out there and, I mean, he crushed it from everything. I mean, he put himself ahead of the curve with the AD situation. He talked about making crazy demands of Gail Benson, and Gail met everything about turning the franchise around. Everything you want to hear, I think, as a fan of this team, you heard today.
Okay.
If I'm the Pelicans season ticket reps, I'm taking every quote and just going out right now,
trying to
get renewals and push whatever I can do, because it was that good of a press conference. You always expect people to win press conferences like this, and this, he just knocked it out of the park in every way today.
Okay. First things first. Apparently, he has a great relationship with Alvin Gentry. That was one of the reasons why he took the job, and Alvin Gentry's going to return next season as the head coach, correct?
Yes, Alvin will be next year. He is going to be remain the coach. I think his staff is going to remain in place. You know, I remember looking in there today, and I saw, you know, Alvin was obviously dressed up, but Chris Finch was in there. In his, like, he was ready to go to practice, working in his office on the other side of the practice facility where we had the press conference, and he's sitting in his office looking at film and going over things. So they're working. I mean, they are ready to go. He said the thing about it is Alvin works best when Alvin isn't having to look over his shoulder, and he thinks that they can do that together. He almost hired Alvin in Cleveland to basically for the second LeBron era before he knew it was going to be the second LeBron era. Alvin was almost there. He has a working relationship with him, and both of them kind of talked about the fact that, you know, they can get in each other's face if something has to go down. And that's what I think what's going to make that work between the both of them is if something goes down, they're going to have to yell at each other. They can yell at each other, and guess what? They're going to be working the same thing the next day. They're not going to hold it personal. It's not going to be a grudge. Gotcha. They know how to operate with each other, and I think that's the key here.
Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune. David Griffin, initial press conference with the media, the new head of the executive vice president of basketball operations. You said he got ahead of the curve in the Anthony Davis situation. Explain.
He basically came out and said he is excited. He said, this is the exact quote that he used, "I'm extremely optimistic relative to the opportunity that lies ahead of us in the form of Anthony Davis." He is going to attack this as if, you know, in his mind, in many of, I wrote this, a lot of, Woj wrote this, a lot of people wrote this, that his first order of business is going to be to navigate the Anthony Davis trade. His first order of business is not to navigate the Anthony Davis trade. It's
correct.
This, let me see if you're going to stay first. Here's what I have. Here's what I'm going to build. Let's try to work something out. You know, Griff was in Cleveland for three seasons. He helped Cleveland to a championship. And he admitted this. Of course, a lot of that had to do with the fact that he had a guy by the name of LeBron James. But as the Lakers found out, you don't just get LeBron James and then start winning games. You have to put the right team around him. You have to do certain things. And that's what he did, and he was able to do that. He has a working relationship with Rich Paul. You know, he was able to, you know, get several Rich Paul contracts in Cleveland, sign Tristan Thompson to a long deal, sign J.R. Smith to a long deal. He's worked with those guys before. He is confident that his relationship with Rich Paul, they can come to an agreement maybe that Anthony Davis is going to stay in New Orleans. And
If not, if Anthony Davis is not 100% committed, then he'll make the trade. And I think when he says to Anthony, if you're all in, to me, that says you're signing the five-year, $235 million extension. That's committing right to being all in, because then you can make the deals around that. And I think if there's no extension that is agreed upon, then he will, you know, go back to looking to trade Anthony Davis.
Andrew Lopez, no let I come to time speak to you. And I've said this before, if you can handle all the things that involve LeBron James, and there are a plethora of things, more so than just the basketball player, if you can handle all that, stay above water, survive, and win a championship, that tells me an awful lot about the man. And that's what David Griffin's done. So I'm very impressed.
Yeah, I mean, he knows what he's doing out there. He is, you know, he went out there and he even mentioned that, you know, he made outrageous demands. Those were his words, outrageous demand to Gail Benson about how he wanted to run this team. And that included, you know, personnel, hiring people in the front office, and that pretty much is what he's going to do, right? And she was like, she met everything. And he also talked about finding his owner. This is a guy who has been widely regarded throughout the NBA. Jerry West tried to hire him in 2006 when he was 36 years old to run the Grizzlies. He didn't feel it was the right situation. He took the Cleveland job after he turned down running the Nuggets in 2010. Just in the last 24 months, you know, he's turned down the New York Knicks job. He's turned down the Philadelphia 76ers job. He wants to win, and he feels like he is in a position to win in New Orleans. And
why is Gail that? Why is that?
Doing what, everything.
Why is that? What he makes feels, him yeah. think that?
He feels like Gail Benson is committed to doing everything possible to turn this into a winning team. And I think he also realizes, let's go back to the trade itself. Let's say the trade happens. Okay. He knows that he's going to be able to get pieces in the trade to build a winner in New Orleans. You know, say the trade doesn't happen. He's confident that he's going to be able to build a winner around Anthony Davis because of what Gail Benson has committed to putting around him. It doesn't seem like there's going to be any sweeping changes in the front office, in terms of getting rid of people. I think what you're going to see is actually just him hiring his own people to come in and work with these people. If you want to stay, you stay. You want to leave, cool, you can get out. But I think you're going to see some of the staff, you know, just grow. Maybe, you know, the analytics team grows. You know, he mentioned today he is going to
hire a general manager? Is he going to hire a GM, or is he going to be the sole voice?
He will be the voice. It's his voice. But he did mention he's not necessarily going to hire a GM per se, but he's going to hire the right people. And if it takes calling that person a general manager, then he'll go ahead and hire that person.
Gotcha. Andrew Lopez, No Let I Come to Times Picayune. I would imagine he's going to have a meeting very, very soon with Anthony Davis and Rich Paul. I guess that would be priority number one.
Anthony Davis is on vacation right now, but he did say, he didn't give an indication of when, but he did say today that there is a meeting scheduled to meet face-to-face with Anthony Davis, Rich Paul, and himself. Once that meeting happens, he will have a better idea of where to go moving on out with how that trade is going to go down.
All right. Very impressive. We'll see. What odds do you give of Anthony Davis being in a Pelicans uniform next year?
It's still a long shot to me. I still think that Anthony is committed to wanting to be elsewhere. I think ultimately it's LA. But I can tell you this. There are people in that organization who have started to get to him and trying to convince him that leaving is not necessarily – it doesn't mean greener pastures. You know, if he goes ultimately to L.A., it's not going to be, you know, all roses and sunshine. If they lose, it's going to be Anthony Davis's fault. It's not going to be LeBron's fault. It's going to be Anthony Davis's fault. And I think once he gets to understand that a little more, maybe there's a chance. But
I think it's still very much a long shot, but, I mean, I if it was yesterday, I had the odds at zero. Today, I'll put them at 2%. So that's still,
2%,
that's still
okay.
Better than where we were yesterday.
That's a start. All I know is, and David Griffin's no fool, when Danny Ainge calls, just be careful, because Danny Ainge seems to always pull a trade that always seems to benefit his Boston Celtics. He's really good at what he does, so I'm sure David Griffin's aware of that.
David Griffin and Danny Ainge also worked together when they were in Phoenix. He does have a working relationship with Ainge, so I don't think, you know, remember when Kyrie wanted to be traded out of Cleveland, Griffin reportedly had a deal to where he could go to, he was going to end up getting Paul George in that deal, and Kyrie was going to get shipped out. He never got a chance to make that deal because they wouldn't give him a contract extension. Kyrie's people wanted him to have a contract extension if he was even going to talk about staying in Cleveland. He never got that opportunity. They ultimately get, you know, sent him to Boston. This is Griffin's chance to deal for, you know, to have a superstar deal. And he's not going to just be fleeced by Danny Ainge. Like, he's right. That's why he went on the offensive today. That's a big part of what he did today. I mean, part of what all this was saying, if you try to shortchange me, I'm keeping Anthony Davis.
I got to run. Andrew, you're the best. Thank you, my friend.
No problem.
Michael Huguenin next.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Guess what day it is.
It's time to break down the biggest storylines this week with Michael Huguenin of The Athletic. What's up, Michael?
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Pump day!
And what an interesting hump day it has been so far with all the reports of Joe Oliva stepping down, call it whatever you want, as the athletic director at LSU and rumors running rampant. This is nothing new. This has been going on for quite some time now. But anyway, Michael Huguenin, kind enough to join us. He always has a great perspective from the outside looking in on things. And Mike, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well.
So it looks like LSU is going to be in search of a new athletic director. What's your immediate thoughts?
Yeah, I think, Oliva was the 11th longest tenured AD in the nation among the Power 5 schools and the second longest in the SEC behind only Mitch Barnhart. Yet I don't really think that when you ask people, writers and such nationwide to list the best ADs, Oliva was never mentioned. I don't think he was a bad athletic director. I just think he was there, sort of like floating along. Now, being an AD now is vastly more difficult than it was even 20 years ago, and certainly much more difficult than it was 30 and 40 years ago. But
how so, Mike?
I think it's, back then it was a when I was in school, when you were in school, a lot of ADs were former football coaches. They were back slappers, and, they went out on the rubber chicken circuit, gave a speech. Hey, make sure you donate to the schools. All right, see you 6 months from now. Yeah. And it wasn't a big deal.
True.
Now you're the CEO of a $60, $70, $90 million company, and you've got to keep not only your coaches happy, you got to keep your board of regents happy. You got to keep your boosters happy. You got to worry about the other athletic directors in your league. You got to worry about your conference commissioner. I think you have to worry now more about the NCAA and long-term planning. It's like being the CEO
more
of an $85 million company. Much more difficult now.
Much more difficult. Okay. We wanted to talk with you about this this transfer portal. And that's the new vogue term that's going around here. And you say that maybe some changes are coming to this. How so?
Yeah, there's a rules change in the offing where if you take a transfer student, he takes up 2 years worth of scholarship, even if he's
really
a 1 year guy. And it's going to lead to a lawsuit, I'm sure. It's the NCAA and certain factions of the NCAA just being blatantly stupid. Frankly, should not surprise anyone. This is one of the few examples of a student athlete actually having control. So, of course, there's a huge groundswell of, nope, can't let them do that. We got to take this away from them. And again, these are kids who have graduated. They've gone to school, and if you listen to coaches, administrators, conference officials, school presidents, the main reason they're in my school is to graduate. So if they graduate in 3 or 4 years, why can't they do what they want? And you and I have discussed this for a decade. The regular students, and for all the garbage that's shoveled our way by schools, by coaches, by conferences, by the NCAA, they're not the same. They're not, and they are treated differently. And it's unfortunate. I don't know if the transfer rules change is going to pass, but evidently it's extremely close. A lot
That's
of coaches
ridiculous.
Who the same coaches will say, yeah, come on in as a grad transfer, don't want their guys to leave. So you can't have it, you can't play both sides of the coin.
Right.
But again, this is irritating, and I'll be honest, if you're a college sports fan and you have a problem with kids transferring, I think you need to broaden your horizons. And go back to a regular college student. They can go to 6 schools in 6 years if they want to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Michael Huguenin of The Athletic, kind enough to join us. The NCAA, explain the hierarchy. Because I know Mark Emmert is the head of the NCAA, but he's got to answer to people, right? There's got to be a board of college presidents that help run.
Yes.
How does that work?
Yeah, there's a board of presidents, and while Emmert is the nominal head of the NCAA and is sort of like the public face, he doesn't make policy himself. And
right.
There's thousands of rules, there's thousands of committees within the NCAA. The rules committee is, and there's the infractions committee, but the rules committee is the one that came up with this. And again, you know, for football, it's 130 schools are involved. For basketball, it's 356. So even within Division I, there's varying numbers of schools that are involved. Now, Emmert could come out and say, I love the grad transfer rule. We should not change one iota. Man, that doesn't matter. It's the board of presidents and the school's vote and all that kind of stuff. So sometimes when the NCAA gets criticized, whether it was Miles Brand or Mark Emmert, the president takes the brunt of the criticism. Now,
correct.
I will say some of the stuff Emmert has said publicly, he deserves criticism because some of the stuff he has said, at least Chris, I think is dumb. Miles Brand, I don't think, made as many foolhardy statements as Emmert. But if you're mad at the NCAA, you're certainly madder at more people than Mark Emmert. Mark Emmert is, again, the head of the NCAA, but he has very little power when it comes to getting rules changed like this. Again, he could say this is the greatest rule ever, and they could vote it out.
Absolutely. Okay. Michael Huguenin of The Athletic. Were you surprised when Will Wade met with LSU and an NCAA official or officials that he was reinstated as the head coach?
Yes. I would have loved to be in that meeting and have him explain what he said on the wiretap.
Uh-huh.
I would have paid money to be in the room to hear that explained. And I think there's people out there who are like, okay, Will Wade's in the clear. No, he's not.
No.
Thing is though, you look at Arizona, you look at Sean Miller, you look at Bill Self. Those dudes don't appear to be going anywhere. So maybe LSU's taking the same tack with Will Wade. Oh, not going to go anywhere. But there is another federal court case that's supposed to start, I believe, April 21st.
22nd.
I guess Wade has been 22nd. Okay, Wade has been subpoenaed, but still may not testify. He and Sean Miller. So
right.
This is far from over. So if you're an LSU fan, you might be excited that he's back. On the other hand, though, you're probably still a little bit nervous, got some angst, got some anxiety about what's going on with Wade. Plus, with all the guys that are leaving, I think Naz Reid's gone for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know why Tremont Waters is going. He's not a high-level prospect. Emmett Williams cannot
no
fathom
way.
Him not
no
coming
way.
Back.
No, they're not. They're
and
coming
the thing
back.
Is, this is another This is an example, though, of the NCAA doing something smart. They're saying, college basketball athlete, get reaction from the NBA, and if it's not what you want to hear, come on back. We'll take you back. So that's an example of NCAA a couple of years ago being proactive, and it's a great rule, just like I think the transfer rule is a great rule. But the college coaches like this, which means it's never going to get overturned.
Mike, do you think that these programs, you mentioned Kansas, Arizona, LSU, I'm sure there is a huge umbrella of teams involved in this. Do you think they're playing their cards like, well, the NCAA can't get everybody. They can't. They'll ruin college basketball, and that's the last thing they want to do because college basketball makes the NCAA so much money with the tournament that they'll just kind of say, okay, this is widespread. Now we got to start over again somehow, some way. Does that make any sense?
It does in some respects, yeah. And you're right. The NCAA does not make money off college football bowl games. That's a totally separate entity. The NCAA's biggest money maker is the annual NCAA basketball tournament, the men's basketball tournament. So I think there is a school of thought that some of the stuff that has gone on in college basketball, the NCAA has turned a blind eye to on purpose. I'm not sure that's necessarily the case. I'm not sure I agree with that. But you know, because you play college basketball and you follow it extremely closely, you could probably tell 100 hours of stories about some of the stuff that goes on in recruiting that you personally know of.
Yes.
And you know, I've said it before, college basketball recruiting is in the sewer. College football recruiting is in the gutter, moving toward the sewer.
Yes.
So the NCAA can only clean up so much. But it seemed as if when the federal government got involved, when certain names started popping up, you're like, my goodness, Bruce Pearl's in trouble. My goodness, Sean Miller's in trouble. My goodness, Bill Self's in trouble. Bruce Pearl has signed a contract extension. So, you know, 2 years ago, people thinking, oh, Bruce Pearl's going to get fired again. He just signed a contract extension. So a lot of head coaches are bulletproof, though, it appears as if there is something going on with Sean Miller and Will Wade that perhaps are not as bulletproof as some other head coaches. But, I think everybody, on the one hand, wants college basketball cleaned up. On the other hand, they don't want to know what's going on. It's like I love sausage. I don't want to see sausage made, man, because that's gross.
That's
so you want to live with the nastiness because the final product is so good. And college basketball is great. And we just finished with 3 weeks of phenomenal theater. Mm-hmm. And now we're back to the bad news about college basketball. But again, I think if you're an LSU fan, you're sort of okay. Will Wade's back, but how is he really back? How long is this going to continue to play out in the media, out in the court system? And can we get more players to come here to play for?
What is the FBI? What is their end all, mean all to this thing? In your opinion?
I'm not sure, but it is interesting that at the same time the college basketball stuff's going on, you got the Operation Varsity Blues, where people were, you know, basically bribing officials to let their kids in the school.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen stories written. Why does the FBI care if this stuff is going on in college basketball? And I've seen stories written. Why does the FBI care if some parent is idiotic enough to pay $650,000 for his kid to get into school?
Mm-hmm.
It appears, at least in the Varsity Blues case, that there was money laundering, tax evasion, a bunch of different stuff going on. But you're right. In some respects, the college basketball, it's like there's a lizard in my house. I'm going to get a grenade launcher to get it out of my house. And it's a little bit maybe over the top some. But this is an example that the NCAA, you and I have talked about this 100 times, the NCAA can't force people to talk to them. So the NCAA, probably part of the NCAA, is like, cool, the FBI is investigating this. We can get documents now. We can, you know, do our own investigation, that kind of stuff. So maybe there will be at least cleaning up the surface when it comes to college basketball recruiting. But it's extremely naive to think that the exact same thing that Will Wade evidently talked about on that wiretap, it's going on right now at some school. There's unquestionably no doubt about it.
Yeah. And the FBI does not have to release any information to the NCAA if they don't want to.
They don't have to, no.
They don't have to. And I don't think they will.
They might not. You're right.
It's crazy.
And in that scenario, I think people who were sort of glad that stuff was going on are going to end up, not only did college basketball get a black eye, it got two black eyes and a couple broken ribs and nothing can be done about it. So
but you know what's,
I think that's the nightmare scenario for college basketball.
But you know, Mike Hugan in The Athletic, during those weeks of March Madness, nobody cared.
Nobody cared
that Bill Self was on the sideline or Sean Miller or LSU was going into the Sweet 16. Everybody got caught up in the – all that stuff got washed away. Nobody cares.
Right, Bruce Pearl's in the Final Four?
Yes.
You're right. It's because it's phenomenal theater for 3 weeks. And it's the best 3 weeks of college. I'm a huge college football fan, but nothing
comes
beats
close.
The NCAA tournament. No.
I'm with you. I'm with you completely. Spring recap real quick. Gosh, should we be concerned about Tua? Everybody says he's not the same.
I think Alabama's offense is going to change a little bit with Sarkisian. I think they want to go back to a little bit more run-oriented. Spring games, I think people overreact to spring games. It's not like Tua's going to fall off the face of the earth.
That's right. That's right.
But it is interesting, though, that he was hurt and played poorly in the SEC title game. Did not play well. Distinctly outplayed by Trevor Lawrence in the national title game. So, you know, last year going into December, oh my God, Tua's might be the best college quarterback ever. And now it's like, well, you know, maybe Tua won't even be the best quarterback of the SEC this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes for some interesting off-season talk. And if you're an LSU fan, you're loving hearing that. If you're a Texas A&M fan, you're loving hearing that. If you're an Auburn fan, you're loving hearing that. Though if I'm an Auburn fan, I'm more worried about my quarterback than anybody else's quarterback.
Mike, I think LSU's going to be really good, man. I just got a feeling about it.
I agree. I think I was on another station today and talking about the SEC West. And the more you look at it, I think it's Alabama and LSU and then Texas A&M a clear and distinct number three. And then I don't know who's number four. But LSU's always talented. The offense has held them back since they won the national title under Miles. So if the offense moves into the 21st century with everybody else, it's going to be very interesting. And, yes, I know they lost Devin White. I know they lost Greedy Williams.
Oh, they'll find somebody. Stingley's,
Stingley's a stud. Chasen's back. The defensive line's deep. Extremely well coached on that side of the ball. So it's all about the offense again.
And I think he's getting better and better. And I think this coach coming over who spent time with Breeze and Sean Payton, Joe Brady, I just get the ball out of Joe Burrow's hand quick, get it to your playmakers, throw it to backs coming out of the backfield and turn them loose. 21st century, like you said.
Yeah, and I think John Emery, if he's as good as the recruiting analysts say, he is, you know, the Fournette, Geis kind of talent coming in. And Nick Brossette, give him credit, rush for 1,000 yards.
Yes,
I don't think anybody, though, when you got ready to face LSU last year, when Fournette was there and when Geis was there, you're like, oh, my God. And when Brossette was there, it's like, okay, big deal.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, we call this a normal day in Tigertown. it just never stops. It's amazing. But Mike, thank you for your time as always, and we'll see what happens with this transfer rule. But again, the NCAA, sometimes they take one step forward, and then invariably they're going to take two or three steps back. It never fails.
Exactly right. Invariably, you're right. You can mark it down in pen. They're going to do something smart, and then they'll do four or five things that are just idiotic.
You're the best. Michael, thank you. Happy Easter, my friend.
Same to you. Talk to you guys next week. Thanks.
Okay, you got it. Michael Hugan of The Athletic. We'll be back, wrap things up on just a mundane Wednesday. Jeez, unbelievable. Here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
et cetera, not.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
Oh, baby, finishing touches. Craziness. What a day. Typical day in Tigertown. Saw this coming a mile away. Wasn't a question of if, just a question of when. And there you go. All right, let's go to a history lesson. Because on this date, April 17th, 1967, woman by the name of Catherine Switzer, famous because she became the first woman to officially run the Boston Marathon. Her bib number 261, now a source of inspiration for women around the world. Catherine Switzer, on this day, April 17th, 1967. If today is your birthday, April 17th, happy birthday to all of you. Hope you have a great one. You share it with the likes of, happy 62nd birthday to Dwayne Casey, NBA coach. Happy birthday to him. Who else is celebrating one today? I'm looking. I'm coming. Golly, not many. Happy 47th birthday to, what's in your wallet, Jennifer Garner. Attractive. What's Ben Affleck thinking? Anyway, happy 45th birthday to Victoria Beckham. And happy birthday to all of you. All right, if it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. Special thanks to Michael Huguenin for joining us today. Special thanks to all of you. Again, let's get a guy that this part of the world, it means something to him. It means the world to Ed Orgeron to be the head coach at LSU. Let's get an athletic director that understands the culture, the way of life, and what this university means to so many people. Let's get an insider, not an outsider. Scott Woodward would be the guy. Proven. And he loves Baton Rouge. And he loves Louisiana. And he loves LSU. Plain and simple. CD, thanks for all you do. Thanks to all of you for listening, to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Hultberg. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.